This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the North, or the South today, as I'm on a train hurtling my way down from Leeds to the Big Smoke. It's something a bit different as I'm heading down to meet up with Jack as we find our way heading to the Football Supporters Association Awards ceremony with the pod up for the Club Podcast of the Year. Now, we're minnows here, we're up against the big boys. We're up against Liverpool, Leeds United, Arsenal, Fulham and Cambridge United. So basically, we're going for the giggles. The ceremony is at like some swanky hotel called Nobu. I think that's probably pronounced Nobu, which seems the totally appropriate name for the venue for Jack and I, doesn't it? As I'm recording this, I put out a call for any questions people have for us, anything county related. So, you know, if we get some stuff in, we'll chat those through down in the pub when we get down there. Now, I'm currently reading a huge weighty biography on the poet Percy Shelley, which is, I'm sure you're going, oh God, what's he on about? What's that got to do with the FSA Awards? Well, nothing, I guess. And yet Shelley was a radical who wanted political reform, and his great sonnet, Ozymandias, is about the inevitable decline of rulers and their pretensions to greatness. In the poem, despite Ozymandias' grandiose ambitions, the power turned out to be ephemeral. I mention this because as supporters, many of us have looked upon the wealth and power of the big clubs, the inequitability of resource, Super League, sport washing, etc., and think, well, you know, this is the way. It's not. Power and those who wield it inevitably decline. Shelley wrote at Ozymandias in 1817, before the giant statue of Rameses II had reached these shores. It's now in the British Museum if you want to check it out. And it looks as though change at that time was a long way off. Yet things did change. The Chartists came along and universal suffrage swept away all that Shelley knew. In Germany, clubs the majority fan-owned. In Sweden, the clubs are community-owned. And they're resisting the implementation of VAR. How we are set up now, who has the power, and which are the big clubs is not like Ozymandias and set in stone. Now, of course, Shelley was married to Mary, who wrote the incomparable Frankenstein, which is going to be the theme of our Christmas special pod this year. So make sure you're subscribed for that slice of chaos. Right then. So after reflecting on power structures and poetry, let's head to the pub for a pint before we get to the awards.
This is the 1912 Exiles Poetry Intermission. And now, Mr. Ian Street will read Ozymandias by Percy Shelley.
I met a traveller from an antique land, who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear: My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away."
Unbelievable, we've been robbed. Absolutely robbed. Names have been up in lights. It's the biggest screen I've ever seen in my life. I don't come to things like this very often. I never won an award in my life. Thought I was a shoo-in. Surely Liverpool and Arsenal and Leeds can't beat us. Arseblog have won it. It's a scandal. Demand a recount. But no, it's been brilliant. It's swanky as anything. There's free beer on the table. There's professional sushi. There's all sorts of weird canapes went round. There's a hell of a lot of people here. How many is here, Jack?
It's got to be a rumour. 40 tables, 10 apiece, 400 people.
Yeah.
From the Times.
We're hobnobbing with all sorts of people. I've no idea who anybody is. Just slight worry because I don't really know anything about football. So, like, but we're having a laugh. We've had quite a few questions have come in. We're going to try and answer them in a minute, but hang on. Hold on to your horses. Well, the food's turned up. I've got some sort of cold chicken tureen. What is happening? Some bloke has just come along, a waiter, and he's taking me glass of champagne away. There was stumbling left in it. Now, he's never been out in Newport. You can't be going taking people's drinks off them.
Look, Ian, just put your fork and knife down for your... Let me just read this menu. The chicken and black truffle tureen. Wild mushrooms, blackberry walnut and toasted brioche. Just distract yourself from that reality and just get back to what's at stake here. To be humble and nice about it, we're so, so grateful for the nomination on the backs of all the fans that have listened to us and sort of signal boosted their content in the last 6 months. We wouldn't be here without that. It's just surreal.
The name was in lights.
It's just bloody lovely to be here surrounded by such big hitters and for us to be the minnows amongst it, eating chicken tureen. And what's next, Ian? Should we have a look at the what have we got? Seared kosher lamb rump, dauphinoise gratin and hispy cabbage.
You don't get out in the steelwork canteen, do you?
Ian, this has been wonderful. It's been really
It is wonderful. I feel a little bit like Veruca Salt outside Willy Wonka's factory on the way in. You know what I mean? But it's been great. Right. Free beer. And then we're going to get some questions, maybe. Hang on. I'll take it all back. I don't know what Jack's been given here, but they've just brought me a pie. They brought me a pie at the FSA Awards. Loving it. I'll give it a pie score in a minute. Bear with. To be fair, it was a decent pie. Not sure it's as good as Morecambe away. And Stuart, this one's for you. It's definitely not Bristol Rovers away. So, but you know, I'm going to give it 6 out of 10. I'm not 100% sure what's in it.
I've got the the seared kosher lamb rump, dauphinoise gratin, hispy cabbage and charred onion. I give it, unfortunately, I give it a 4 out of 10.
Right, no Bovril was served, but Alternative Wales were robbed as well in the Fanzine of the Year. But we did say that if you had some questions for us, because this is a bit of a weird day today, and it's not a match report, me and Jack would attempt in our inimitable fashion to give you our completely unstructured thoughts on some of the questions that have come in. Right, I think I think you've got the questions, don't you?
Yeah, I'll read them out. Questions from table number 20 at the FSA Awards 2023, hosted by, excellently as we agreed, Victoria Derbyshire.
She did a good job.
Fantastic, well done. Okay, so question number one. If either of you could have any manager in the world managing County, who would it be? Doesn't have to be realistic. I mean, it could be Klopp or Diego. I suspect Diego Simeone would be perfect for us, says someone who brought that question into us. Who would you have, Ian?
Right, well, if it's someone who's alive...
Oh, shit, someone's taking my beer.
If it's someone who's alive, I would go for either Bielsa, because I think he would be hilarious. Bielsa on a bucket in front of the Hazel would be brilliant. Or a younger person would be Xavi Alonso, who's up by a Leverkusen, who's doing I think he's going to be a star. So I'd have one of them two. If it's someone who's not with us anymore, I'd go for either Valery Lobanovsky or Rinus Michels.
So Dutch, very well-known Rinus Michels. Yeah, that sounds like a Harry Potter character.
He created Dutch total football, and Lobanovsky was the architect for Ukrainian... football. Right. So that's what are you going with?
I'm going to go with
Robbery.
I'm going to go with Peter Beadle.
Yeah.
Because that's just my gimmick. I love that man dearly. I miss him every day. Just create a team full of characters and we need them back. We need reasons to watch the team every week like a TV show. Anyway, moving on, because every answer I give is Peter Beadle, on hashtag Ask Jack and Ian on Twitter, we are asked the following. Here's a question in keeping with the occasion, if not too late. What trophies, Ian, what trophies have you won playing football or any sport in general? And have you enjoyed hospitality at the match? And if so, how do you rate it?
Well, my life is basically, there's a trail of failure behind me. So, no, I've won nothing at anything ever. So, you know, even being here today, I feel like it's an amazing thing. So, no, I've never won anything. I have had two occasions of hospitality. One last year at the Port, which was absolutely excellent, to be fair play. Thought it was great. And I live in Leeds. A mate of mine's a big rugby league fan. He once took me to watch the Rhinos in a cup of tea ticket. You might as well have tried to explain cricket to Martians. I had no idea what was going on, but the food was good.
Yeah. For myself... semi-professional footballer at Clean level, not really. I sat on the bench for most of it and I wasn't paid a thing, so I'm not sure really where the semi comes into that, Ian. But as far as trophies go, I think the supporters trust were asked to field a team to participate in the Dragon Trophy against Merthyr Town Supporters Trust, of which we won. Now, unfortunately, I was knocked out by a stray ball and don't remember very much of the day. But I woke up and we won the trophy. Not like the FSA Awards, but we won it. I've got a picture to prove it. Stephen Farley, let me know if you still got the picture. So, yes, I have won something footballing-wise. That was nice. Hospitality, it's the old United fan in me dad, who used to take me to Villa Park a long time ago because it was the nearest Premier League side. Some steel link in terms of a supplier sponsor. And I got to see Dion Dublin score his average one goal a game for Villa, which was wonderful. Okay, so next question. Since this is being discussed at a meeting soon, how do you see the role of the Trust post-takeover? Ian Street, how do you see the role of the Trust post-takeover?
I don't know, to be honest, and I think that's a brilliant question. What is the role of a minority stakeholder in a club? I would like to think, if I got my positive pants on, that we can act as a useful conduit into the fan base and also put in a decent amount of coin, which gives us a bit of a voice. But I think the reality is we're a minority. We're like anyone who's a minority stakeholder in anything. You are a minority stakeholder, therefore your view and vote is negligible.
Yeah, as I stare at Jeff Shreves on the table adjacent, totally irrelevant to the point I'm about to make, but just name-dropping for the sake of it. You know, we've had a long time in the Trust to make money and put coin into the company, into the club, and we haven't. We've failed. We've not done it. This is why Hugh Jenkins is a necessity. And unfortunately, it has not been sustainable with the stress model. So whatever role is, you know, I think it's a Mourinho case for me. If I speak too much, I'm in trouble, and I don't want to inculpate the... If that's even a word at this point, maybe I'm too drunk to know. But I don't want to get us into trouble. I think it's a bit of a failed effort, and I'm really sad that it is. I wish it was more. Anyway, moving on. Do you want to answer that, Ian?
No, next question.
Next question, okay. What are your top three priorities for change once the takeover is complete?
Stability is my first one. Training ground. Long-term plan.
Yeah, you want the lease extended. You want some players. You want some money. You want... The big thing, and I think he's made a start on it, which is excellent, is this comms piece. The comms piece from the club has been generally weak for a long time. I mean, there's a reason why us in a vacuum as 1912 Exiles have been so successful, hence why we're at this dinner tonight, is because there is a vacuum there that can be filled by official comms. So I'd like to see, and it already has started with, I can't remember the newsletter, they've started the Exiles something. Wonderful. Excellent effort. Okay. Next question, or keeping it with the Rose Ed Book Club, if there are any, who'd be the bookworm of the squad, Ian? Who would be the most bookish of our squad, do you think?
I'm going to go for Josh Seabury, because he's got a broken leg, so he's got a lot of time, hasn't he, to read some books. I also think he's a young lad who you might not read much in a minute, but he's clearly someone who, I think, does quite a lot to better himself as a player, as a person. So I think he's got room for growth, and I think he needs to start reading if he doesn't already. So I think he could be the bookish one.
He needs to start reading, Ian. Okay. Bit of an indictment for him. I have no opinion on that. I need to read more. I take a book on holiday, never read it. Anyway, next question. With the announcement of the meeting in January, do you sense that Hugh Jenkins' takeover is imminent? I mean, I do. It's just because the checks take so long in the league. I think that's all that's down to, Ian.
Yeah, I don't see it as any issue. I like the fact that we haven't been hearing stuff, we haven't been rumours, all that sort of stuff. I think he's just quietly getting on with the business behind the scenes, making sure that the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed and all that stuff. And we will know when we know. And I think it's fine. I think it is imminent, but it'll take as long as it takes. And as someone I was speaking to the other week, or someone dropped into one of our WhatsApp groups, they said, I'd rather take twice as long and get it right than be twice as quick and be shit.
Yep, okay, next one then. What is, bar tonight, the pie was excellent, of course, Nobu London, name dropping again, Jeff Shree's over there, table to my left. What is the best pie you've had in a game? You've mentioned Harrogate quite a few times tonight. Best pie, away game, Ian Street.
I think, sorry Stu, I won at Rovers where you had that one. I'm going, I think Harrogate's a good pie because you've got the option of pie, mushy peas and gravy, and that is a classic, right? It's a good pie, mushy peas and gravy. I'm going Harrogate.
I haven't been away for many years, so I wouldn't have a clue. Okay, next one. Of the squad, best dresser / joker, I think there's very, very many multiples in this question, Ian.
All right.
Best dresser, joker, practical joker, messes with the hair the most. What team they each detest playing against, / who's the... I mean, I've had a few, Ian. I'm struggling with this question.
I don't understand this question. Is this about us, or is this about the actual squad?
Okay, let me pick one. So, of the squad, who do you think the most practical joker... You know, the biggest... Who is the biggest joker?
Scouse Lewis.
100%. And you've met him, haven't you?
Yes.
Did he play a joke on you?
He didn't, but he's got a squinkle in his eye, that lad.
Oh, you did say you listened to the podcast. It was either a massive lie or... Okay. But we love you, Scouse, and we wouldn't say anything bad about you, especially now we've met you. Okay, next one, very quickly, before they bust us out of here. If all League Two managers had a battle royale, who would finish behind Graham Cocco?
The Sutton manager. What's his name? Matt Gray, is it?
Okay.
Yeah. He looks handy, I think.
Okay, next one. Putting aside any problems rooted in reality in this scenario, you get drawn in a cup against a Premier League team. You have one option to recruit one Premier League player through a wild card for that game. Who would you pick and why?
Well, We've got an issue in midfield, so I'm picking Rodri from Man City. But if I want to bring the chaos, I'm bringing Nunes from Liverpool.
Okay, why Nunes?
Because he brings the chaos.
Right, okay. Easy one. I'll probably go Haaland. Just on the backs of... I'm sorry, Omar, if you're listening, but... You know, that guy up front can hold it and pass it. We needed a bit of that against Barna. I think we'd be through to the next round if we did. Anyway, before I lose my voice then, next one. Do you agree with me that if we win the next two league games, then we are safe? Ian Shree?
No. Because that's not enough. 6 points is not enough. But I think we are safe, effectively, because we've reached the halfway point of the points we need before the halfway point of the season. And we're going to carry on picking up enough points. But not if we win the next two. We need more than that.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'm very conscious that you need to catch two tubes and a bus, Ian, so I'm going to smash through these now. I really humbly thank everyone for their messages, and you can hear my voice is starting to strain. What would you say is the best ever moment or memory as a Newport County fan?
Oh, that's impossible. All right. Well, I guess beating Wrexham to come back into the league for me. I can think of loads of others, actually, but that was a key moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Especially as my stepfather at the time was a Wrexham fan. So you can imagine how sweet that was. Because I could just imagine him on the opposite corner just jumping up and down like Donkey Kong on the final level. Not very happy. But can I be really sentimental? I think tonight for us.
Yes, you can.
Tonight for us as the 1912 Exiles podcast has been absolutely... I mean, nominees such as The Athletic and BBC Sport. Not to toot the horn and annoy Reece Warren more than we need to, but... Tonight's been wonderful, and obviously meeting Ian for the first time, wonderful, wonderful. Anyway, before he blushes anymore, next one. What is your favourite ever football shirt? County specific, I would say.
Yeah, that's easy for me. The Adidas non-sponsored kit of the early 80s is the best kit we've ever played in. It's got a collar. Perfect.
Okay. Okay, conversely, I think... Just for the attention it gets on the terraces, I can't wear that GLC shirt without being offered 50 quid for it. It's my favourite. You just wear it, it gets a bit of a nod and attention. I kind of like those, but, you know, I like two of those things. So the GLC, iconic. We didn't seem to get away with that Burberry rip-off, did we? And I never got my hands on it, and I refused to pay eBay prices for that. Okay, next one. Best ever football-related read, book.
Fever Pitch, Nick Hornby.
That's the questions run out of, Ian. So my final question is, how have you enjoyed tonight?
Yeah, it's been a very surreal experience, to be honest with you. But it has been great, really. And to be honest with you, you know, there's five of us who are mostly involved in this, with other people chipping in. We've all got proper jobs. We all do this in our spare time. We're all fans of the club. We've all got different views. And, you know, we have been recognised with some big players tonight. And it's been brilliant. Our names have been up in lights. Well, not mine and Jack's, obviously, but the pod's been up in lights. And, you know, we've had a lot of love off people in the room. It's been great. Wouldn't you say, Jack?
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. And, yeah, surreal to be sat amongst Henry Winter from The Times. Yeah, we had a message from Mo Salah about winning Player of the Year. It's just been absolutely bizarre, and none of it would be at all achievable without the emotional investment from the fans that have spurred us on to make what we do today. And it's been a lovely free dinner that we've very much enjoyed. And we've heard from, I think it was the Cambridge podcast, that they've done it 2 years on the trot. So, I mean, I think we should go for it again, Ian. You know, the meal was lovely. Lovely enough to come back to, don't you think?
Yeah, and there's still some free beer, so, you know, we can sort that out. Listen, everyone, I hope you've enjoyed this. A bit of a random one. I'll see you in another northern town. Jack will be on back on a mic at some point. Catch you all soon. Cheers, everyone.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.